This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message that social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is all to the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North, for the week of November the 30th, 2015, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television, from north and south of the 49th parallel. I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm Diane Wild.
And I'm Greg David.
And we would like you to put your television on mute for episode 194 of TVA, the podcast. Well, it's getting chilly. Winter's here, and winter's on its way. I can't believe the winter doesn't start until December 22nd. That just seems wrong.
It does seem fake.
That's an accident of the calendar. We all know that it actually starts earlier than that.
Yeah, it's don't get me wrong. For you know, November, December around here, it's actually been not too bad.
Like, yeah, we've been getting off easy so far.
Yeah, so I'm fingers crossed. I don't know how it's been. Are you getting persistent rains out in Vancouver?
No, it's been really sunny, but a little cool, like, for us. So, I mean, I'm from Edmonton originally, so right. Nothing is cool in Vancouver. But, yeah, it's been, like right now, I think it's 4 degrees.
TVA's Diane Wild says, nothing is cool in Vancouver.
But we're getting rain probably starting tomorrow, and then that's why, as of next week, I'm in Florida for a week.
Wow. So. We're getting rain starting next week until March.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Probably, yeah.
Wow. So admittedly, at this time of year, we've kind of gone through, if you remember, it was a few months ago, we talked about the fact that there wasn't a lot to talk about because we were waiting for kind of shows to start and or kick off. It was like the beginning of the fall mini season. Like every show is a mini season now. It's like 10 or 13 episodes. And we're kind of creeping up on the end of these 10 or 13 episode seasons. So as we get into the calendar a little bit, there's going to be like a lot of series and season finales that we're talking about. But before we get there, there's probably, in my mind, the most important part of the show. It's the part of the show where we get well lubricated. just in case, because if you don't get well lubricated, you could end up with a situation like Hardwood and Wicked Beaver, and then it's a really bad problem there.
Yeah, I can't believe you named it that.
That was best title ever. Go back and listen to the last episode just to hear the origins of the title Hardwood and Wicked Beaver.
And Diane complaining profusely that Anthony was going to pick that as a title.
Damn straight. So, Diane, will you please kick us off with this week's beverage update?
You know, I feel like I've let you down this week. I only have two beverages and none of them are alcoholic.
Wow.
So I don't know if that's really well lubricated. I was so excited. It was really cold in the office today. So I was so excited to come home. And I have this, I think I mentioned it last time too. I have this, what is it called? Like peppermint mocha Kahlua. And if you add it to hot chocolate, it is so good. Mm-hmm. But then I got home and I realized I don't have hot chocolate. So that just wasn't going to happen.
So you just drank the Kahlua.
I could have. That would have been the better idea. But no, instead I have a creme caramel rooibos and I have a grape sparkling water, both of which are delicious, but they're still only two drinks and they don't have alcohol in them. There's no getting around that.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have let us down, Diane.
I know. I do have pink grapefruit cider in the fridge, but I don't really feel like it.
So where was that again?
That's more of a summer kind.
Where was that again? You said in the fridge?
In the fridge.
Yeah, unless it's on the desk and you're drinking.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. I can't count it. But mm-hmm. I just didn't feel like cracking one open because it just feels a bit too wintry here for that.
Greg, do you have a couple of amuse-bouche this week to go with your drinks to kind of beef them up?
No, I had considered having Haagen-Dazs, the caramel ice cream, but
to be fair, if you let it melt, it becomes a beverage.
And believe me, I had thought of that. I picked that up today because it's on sale over at my local Metro. But I thought that maybe 20 after 10 Eastern time was a little too late to be pulling out a tub of ice cream. So I went with
sorry guys, just give me a second.
Exactly. Yeah, you just hear smacking noises. So I decided to go with, I believe that this is the President's Choice blue menu item. This would be
Wow.
their, this would be a cranberry raspberry mix drink. And I think it has aspartame in it because it doesn't taste very good. Don't.
Is it like a juice or is it like a
Yeah,
liquid?
it's just a juice. No, it's just it's
Oh.
their juice mix.
That
And like
sounds
I
disgusting.
well, I actually like it, except I don't like this blue menu because they put aspartame in it, which means that my brain tumor is growing. So
Great. I forget what it was, some, I don't know if it was like the Daily Show or something like that, but it was some show, and it wasn't recently, where they talked about the fact that in the US they were going to make everybody put the sugar content on the front of the label, almost like they put like the grotesque pictures on cigarettes, right?
Oh, right, yeah.
Right? Like put the sugar content right up front. And the lobbyists for the cranberry growers went absolutely insane because cranberries are like the worst tasting.
They're so sour.
Yeah,
To
you
make
have
them drinkable, you need a ton of sugar.
Oh, right.
Like, and if you ever just had a cranberry without it being cranberry juice, you would never drink cranberry juice again.
Yeah, I made that mistake. I had this like yummy cocktail thing that had cranberries in it. And so I wanted to eat the cranberries. And yeah, I put it in my mouth and just my whole face just sort of shriveled into one little prune.
Cranberries wish that they were lemons. Just saying.
That might be an episode title. What about you, Anth? What are you drinking tonight?
So my beverage this week, a couple weeks ago I did a sojourn down over the border. See, I'm doing more of these weekend sojourns than Diane used to do, where she used to pick up her cooler wine cooler mixes or whatever they were.
Yeah, no, they were just little wines. They were just a teeny tiny little cute wine bottle.
So I'm bringing back my bourbon, needless to say. And I brought back a cheap bottle. Well, it wasn't too cheap, but it was about $30 US. I brought back Rebellion Bourbon.
Ooh.
Well, yeah, it's a neat sounding name, and it's not bad. It tastes okay, and it is made in Bardstown, Kentucky, which is like kind of one of the centers of, around where. But it's in Bardstown, Kentucky, I think, just for name only, because it's not like it's done in some traditional old style distillery. In fact, it's done by Market Street Spirits.
Oh.
So essentially, it's like some people who've opened up a distillery like right in the middle of Bardstown, which is fine. I mean, it's still in Kentucky, I suppose. But I have to read you the blurb because I love my copy on my bourbon.
Please.
So let me see if I can get the light here. History has a way of repeating itself. And when you're presented with conditions that can no longer be tolerated, it's not only your right, but your duty to stand up and do something about it. So stop drinking subpar bourbons. Start the rebellion.
Oh.
So, are you actually drinking this bourbon right now?
Let's say yes.
You just don't want my lecture again about how it's not a beverage update if you're not actually drinking it, right?
Listen, if Greg can count melted ice cream as a beverage,
Technically, he didn't.
I'm
It
doing
was
that. I'm doing
he
that next
resisted
week.
it.
I'm just saying, if he can do that, I'm sure that I can count. You know what? Here's the thing. Am I drinking it right now? No. Have I drank it recently? Yes. So it's close. Just
Next
saying.
time I'm drinking eggnog, that's what I'm gonna have next time.
You don't do it. That stuff is bad.
Yeah, nog is not good. I don't know what nog is, but I don't think it's good. So apparently we have another poll. How many polls do we do a year, Greg?
Ah, oh, come
I'm
on.
not pe I'm not being picky. I'm asking you a question.
I think off the top of my head, I think maybe we've done around six, Diane, maybe? Because
Yeah, that's about what I was going to say, because it seems like one every couple of months. We
okay,
Yeah.
okay, so about six per year.
Yeah. And they're all kind of variations on the same theme.
Right.
What's your favorite show? We could just like do that every month.
But this one seems to have caught on, and another battle has ensued.
Yes.
Yeah, it's this one is the old chestnut that people bring out near the end of the year. What's your favorite, whatever? What's your favorite, drink, or what's your favorite thing to do? Well, this one is what's your favorite Canadian? What are your favorite Canadian TV shows of 2015? And so I reminded some people about the cancellations, and a lot of people actually didn't realize that Strange Empire and Rookie Blue had been canceled. So I broke some bad news to some people with that one.
Oh, Greg, this is
Yeah.
breaking hearts.
Spoiler alert.
I ruined their entire year by telling them that.
But at least they get to vote in a poll.
At least they get to vote. And I even opened it up to 5 votes. So I let people pick up to 5 shows. And I actually had a nice amount of people that complained that 5 wasn't enough. And
oh,
usually...
come on, suck it up, people.
I know. Hey, listen.
And then you get like all these Heartland commenters about how it's the best show ever.
Ever. What's been
interesting? They could not pick another 4 because Heartland was the only one.
And, yeah, that's right. That's
and
right.
The
if
horse
I could vote
came
for Heartland,
back the very fine. Next day, the horse came back. They thought he was a goner.
Spoiler alert.
The interesting thing about this poll, and Diane made this joke before I posted it last week, is that usually the Murdoch Mysteries fans come out in droves and end up dominating these polls. But this time around, at least so far, I mean, we're almost tomorrow, it'll be a week in.
Yeah.
But Lost Girl and Heartland are the top vote getters right now. And Murdoch Mysteries is third place. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so if I could parse down what you're saying here, you're saying that the fans of Murdoch Mysteries suck.
And then rounding out the top
Anthony
5.
Firestorm on that one.
Yeah, he would be Anthony Marco.
Please
at,
send your comments to @Greg_David.
Rounding out the top 5, we've got Orphan Black and then Dark Matter. And then actually a late entry would be Tornado Hunters. And remember, we talked about that show not too long ago. That's at number 6, followed by Rookie Blue, Rick Mercer Report, When Calls the Heart, and Schitt's Creek. But the interesting thing...
I'm surprised that at number 14 came Hardwood and Wicked Beaver, to be honest with you.
Yes, that's right. Over 60 shows are in this poll. We've had almost 17,000 people vote. And the really fun part about this, aside from the sheer number of people that have voted for this and the fact that Murdoch Mysteries fans are finding... that there are popularity for other shows out there. But I'm getting a lot of comments from American fans of these shows, particularly when it comes to Heartland. So the fact that we're penetrating the market down south of the border makes me very excited.
Wow.
So if you haven't voted yet, go to the website and vote. And I'm going to keep this up for a few more days because I enjoy seeing the numbers climb.
As of right now, as I'm looking at the results in front of me, Lost Girl in first place with 4,274 votes. Heartland in second place with 4,251 votes.
It's tight.
Put it this way, if you're a fan of Heartland and you haven't voted yet, it could be your fault that this show gets canceled.
Yeah, absolutely. They may have to do just something to one of the horses if you don't vote.
I saw somebody joke about, does the winning show get a renewal too?
Yeah.
Yes, it
if
does.
If only we had that.
Yes,
before.
Yes, it does.
Yes. Yeah, we should just say that.
Yes,
and,
it does.
Yes, and we'll put your favorite show on TV as well, or your favorite episode all the time.
In fact, if out of the blue, over the next few days, while Greg leaves this up, if Firefly moves to number 1, we're bringing it back again as a Canadian show. Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
No write-in votes.
That hobo.
Hobo.
Yeah, hobo.
Bring back hobo.
I actually enjoy that there is more of a mix in this one than...
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it's partly because you let people pick 5. But also it seems to have, I know a lot of people have been spreading the word about this poll, which is great. So I think it's gotten into different corners of the internet that maybe, you know, Murdoch is always first on there. They have a really good social media team too. They promote it to their fans. But I think other shows have gotten on board as well. So yeah, interesting mix of shows.
There you go. So get how probably, what, a few more days you're going to leave it up there, Greg? Like until Friday or something?
Yeah, it's interesting because the numbers every day, the number of votes keep going up. More and more people are seeing this every day. So until it starts to peter out, I'm going to leave it up there.
Okay. I would be surprised if they went down.
Wait, which way does time work again?
What, Doctor Who's on here? First season of Doctor Who, Canadian content. That's all I'm saying.
Of 2015, Anthony, you're missing a crucial point.
Greg, did you watch the latest episode of Doctor Who?
No. You know what? I'm not really like. I'm not into the Capaldi Doctor Who.
All right, we're done.
I know. I'm really sorry to say that to you.
No, we're done.
Very,
I'm disconnect his buzzer.
Oops. Mute his microphone.
I'm not into Doctor Who at all, but I enjoy Peter Capaldi just from other roles.
Yeah.
So, I'm on the. Team Peter Capaldi, except I have no interest in Doctor Who, so it doesn't really matter what team I'm on.
You know what? What we should find out, Greg, how did the International House of Canadian Television shows go a couple weeks ago?
Oh, yeah.
the International, oh, the Canadian International Television Festival?
Sure, something like that.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Do you really want me to talk about what happened?
Well, I want to know what happened, because you were moderating, what, three different panels?
Yeah, I was moderating three different panels.
You didn't really say much online about it, did you, Greg?
No, it went very well. The panels that I moderated went very well. The Sunnyside panel had a small but diehard audience. And we watched an episode of the show, and What Would Sal Do was a packed house. I think it was, the theater held 150 people, and, we got to see some clips, and that was a fun one to moderate. And then, the Letterkenny session was in the bigger theater. That was 300 people in that theater, and it was so full that they actually had to turn people away. So that was pretty exciting, and we got to watch the first full episode of that one, so that was kind of a world exclusive, because nobody had seen it up until that point. Okay, so the actors and stuff, and the writers, and the...
Yeah, whatever.
So in case someone was going to call me on that...
Yeah.
Wow, someone's getting a bit sensitive, huh?
Yeah. So that was great. No, it was very well done. There were some organizational difficulties behind the scenes, but for the most part, it was well attended, and everybody that I spoke to had a great time.
Well, that's good. And I'm sure we'll hear about next year's festival at least 2 days before it happens.
I think that you're probably going to hear something sooner than that.
We're shooting for 4 days.
Yes.
Awesome. No, that's great. I mean, you know what? I love the idea of the marathoning. I wish they would do that. I wish they would have done that again.
Yeah, I think this time around, I think there were some scheduling difficulties. And no, seriously.
Sorry.
I don't mean to sound defensive. I know that there were some difficulties with regard to getting stuff booked on time. And I think that, last year I thought that the marathoning of shows was a really great idea. And I think that's what people like. People like to hang out and watch a whole bunch of shows together. And I think that they should definitely do that.
For sure. I think that'd be cool.
Bigger and better in 2016.
Wow. Are you like their, have you become their marketing
guy?
There's
the catchphrase. I gotta write that down. Hold on.
A place for us all.
Space for everyone.
Yes. So it's time to jump over to the calendar, which,
I love whatever that old fashioned teletype is, exactly. whatever that happens to do.
That's how it goes. So even though we're recording on November 30th, we are jumping to the December calendar, which you can find up on the website.
Because it's tomorrow?
Under the heading calendar.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty straightforward. Yes. I don't want to make it too confusing.
No, for sure. We don't want to trip up our listeners. So we have almost nothing to talk about this week. And in the next week, the only real thing that we have to talk about is the season finale of The Next Step on Family and the Family Network.
Yeah, and I mean, you guys know this as well as I do. This is the time when all of the, you know, everybody takes a break for the Christmas specials. So no real big surprise that there isn't a heck of a lot going on with regard to these shows. Yeah, right. The Next Step season finale is on the 11th, and we already know that that's coming back for another season. I know you guys, this definitely isn't in any of our wheelhouses because we're not.
It's on the Family Network.
Yeah, we're not tween girls. So, but it's very popular. My younger nieces love it, and there's a spinoff coming up in the new year. There's going to be a sneak peek on December the 11th as well. It's called The Music Room, I believe, is the name of the title, and that's a spinoff. Obviously, it's to do with a music class in the same school as where the dance classes are held. So you can check that out before the Next Step season finale.
Is there going to be a prequel series called The Step? That didn't fly anywhere, did it? Wow.
I gave it a polite giggle.
Yeah, I know. I heard crickets after that.
I couldn't think of anything. I was trying to think of something witty.
I get you. I get it.
Laugh is what he was going for.
Greg's trying to throw me under a bus ever since I called him on that thing earlier, so I get it.
Yeah. I was drinking my aspartame juice.
Just be thankful for the aspartame. It is cranberries.
You can't think past the brain.
We're not going to be getting free cranberries from the cranberry lobby anytime soon.
No.
And we will talk about the fact that when we record in a couple of weeks, there's a couple season finales coming up, a couple series finales coming up. So, and they're coming up actually pretty close to the holidays, to be honest with you. So,
yeah, which is a little bit strange because, like I said, it's usually you know, it's all holiday stuff all the time. So, yeah.
So holiday stuff, and you get just bizarre. You know, there's usually like that 4 or 5 or 6 week break. You know, the mid season, and everyone now is doing the mid season finale. Or the fall finale.
Yeah, fall finale. That's what they're calling them. Yeah. Fall finale.
It's the fall finale. I watched the fall finale of The Walking Dead the other night.
Oh, yeah. Don't ruin it for me. I haven't watched that yet.
Zombies kill people.
Oh, I told you not to ruin
Jeez,
it for
Anthony.
Me.
Okay.
Hey, I know this isn't on our schedule, but do you guys have a favorite holiday? Something that you need to watch for the holidays for it to feel like the holidays for you?
I do, but you'll mock me.
Oh, please. That's why I asked.
Lately, it's Love Actually. And yes, I know it's a terrible movie, but I love it, so shut up.
That was just that was just on W Network. Just I think it was on over the weekend. And a shout out to Andrew Lincoln. Yeah. Before he was on The Walking Dead, he was in that movie. Yes.
Well, they put it in between 6 different screenings of The Notebook.
Yes. Yeah, I don't get W Network, but I think I own the movie anyway. So I like
What about movie. You, Anthony? Is there one that you like to watch?
If it's about Christmas specials, I've got to watch Charlie Brown Christmas. Have to watch that. Got to watch The Grinch. I will even say that I, at least once a season, I want to watch Rudolph and Frosty. Just because it's so nostalgic.
See, all of those are things I should watch this Christmas, but I don't generally watch them.
Yeah, but it's those things whereby I will even admit that, like, if I don't catch them, like, I will probably go onto some streaming site or download a copy so that I can watch it at some point. Because, you know, it's one of those things where I feel like on a Sunday afternoon right around the holidays, it's like this would be what I need to watch right now.
Yeah.
For me, it used to be It's a Wonderful Life for me. But, I mean, after seeing it for, like, 25 years, I kind of, you know, had to have a break. So.
Yeah. For me, it's Christmas Vacation and Scrooge with Alistair Sim.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that was one of mine, too. But Christmas Vacation, I'm going to take back calling Love Actually embarrassing because...
I never felt that way about that movie because I don't know, something about Chevy Chase rubs me the wrong way. But I guess if I can just sit, like, something about that movie just in the last few years has kind of driven it home for me for some reason. I like it, and also I also forgot A Christmas Story. That's a big one for me too.
Well,
that I saw for the first time like a couple of years ago, and I think maybe you have to have seen it as a kid first for it to have.
That's fair. That's fair because it is. I mean, it is dated to a certain degree.
To a certain degree, yes, it is. I couldn't quite get the appeal because everybody has told me that's so amazing and it's a Christmas classic, and I'd never seen it.
Right. I think for me as an adult now, I really think that Darren McGavin's really funny in it. Like I tend to see the humor in the parents now, whereas when I was a kid, it was what was going on with the kids.
To me, it was a film where like I think I saw – I might have even seen it in the theater when I was younger.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I did – maybe I rented it once or twice as a kid when you used to actually go to like, you know, the video station and stuff like that and rented videos for $5 or $6 a night. I remember those days. Beta.
Beta, yeah, man. Beta. Beta at VideoFlix. That was me.
But anyway. for years, like, I really, really looked forward to watching it. And once every few years, I'd see it. And then it was about 10 years ago that I think A&E did, like, a 24-hour marathon of it where they showed it all day and all night.
Oh, my God.
And kill it.
And, yeah, and I didn't, it's not like I watched it for 24 hours, but... I
22 or so.
Yeah, like everyone started showing that film because it gained this kind of cult status. And I haven't really wanted to watch it since. And it's not that it's a bad film. It's just kind of, it's kind of overstepped its welcome for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of like much of the Rush back catalog. You know, like I like Rush. And if it pops up on the radio, I'll listen to Rush. But I don't often go to, it's not one of my go-tos, is what I'm saying.
So I'm in the mood for fly-by-night.
Exactly.
CBC's Drive Time show just had a thing where like people are supposed to call in and say what should be the second Canadian national anthem, basically. What song should every Canadian know? And somebody voted for Tom Sawyer. And the host, Stephen Quinn, the host, is like, nobody knows the lyrics to Tom Sawyer.
No.
Like, are you kidding me? But apparently the Foo Fighters were in a concert in Edmonton, and they basically said exactly that same thing, and they got some guy to come on stage and sing Tom Sawyer.
Hey, I mean, the lyrics. If it should be anything, it should be Bytor and the Snow Dog from the Fly By Night album, to be honest
with you. My goodness.
Wow. That's going into the back catalog.
Oh, that's right.
That's a deep cut, all right.
That's right. I go for the deep cuts. That's what I'm saying.
There are Rush fans that don't even like that song. Well, I'm kidding.
No,
I don't even know.
To be honest with you, if you're right, I could have gone really deep, and I could have gone to the Fountains of Lamneth from the Caressive Steel album.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
I feel like we're on.
That's how deep these.
Could have gone to part three of the Necromancer from the Caressive Steel side two.
Is this another podcast?
I think so.
Yeah, I think we've gone on.
When did we go there?
We went on a digression of our digression.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, was the last episode we talked about Cardinal, which is a new series that's coming up? I think it was last episode or the episode before we talked about it.
Yeah.
And so we have some casting news.
Yeah, Diane, do you want to cover this one or you want me to do it?
Well, I could, except that I've completely lost the thread of it. So I'm like, so Billy Campbell, I know, and Corinne Vaness have been cast as leads in this. So Billy Campbell, he's a bit of a name draw. He's got some stuff going on.
I mean,
him.
from The Killing, which was the most recent, right?
Well, actually, he was on Helix, two seasons of Helix on Showcase.
Oh, okay, so that's right.
That's why it's not listed on there, because it's a competitor's show.
Sure.
But yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and is this wrong? But is Corinne Vaness, was she on that Pan Am show?
Yes, she was. I thought it was the Playboy Club, but you're right. It was Pan Am.
I really liked her in that. She was. I didn't like the show, but I thought she was really great.
Like, how many episodes did that thing last?
Oh, not that many.
Yeah, one season.
Was it even that?
Yeah,
like, I remember I watched the premiere episode, and I actually thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it might have been 10 episodes, if that.
I didn't hate it. I just didn't think it was the greatest. She was kind of a standout for me. And he's been in a lot of stuff, and he's not unattractive. So I think this is a good casting. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I think so too, because he's Billy Campbell's that craggy looking guy, like craggy but good looking, and he's always sporting like the salt and pepper stubble. So I think like this character of Cardinal in these books, he's got to be kind of a tough guy, but also a little bit haunted because his personal life has some issues and some secrets to it. And I think that this casting of Corinne is good because she's feisty, and this character that she's going to play on this show is like that as well. I mean, the casting of these two, this just even, I know I was talking about this in the last podcast, how excited I was that this show is finally being made, and the fact that they've now got the two leads, I'm even more excited about it because I think they're going to be great.
Mm-hmm. I was excited about this, well, not excited. I was looking forward to the show coming. It's not exactly the genre that I tend to go for, but I think this is really good news.
Actually, I remember him from years back in the 4400, because I used to like that show.
Oh, the 4400.
I like that show too.
Yeah, that was a great show. And they're trying to get it to come back.
Don't get me wrong. The first season or two was good. When it got into about the third season, it kind of got, it's like, okay, we didn't think we were going to last this long.
Well, yeah. You know, I can't remember his name, but the creator of the show was talking about how it was such a hard sell for networks, and he got some sort of like smallish order for the first season. I think it was on some, I can't remember what network that was on, but it wasn't like kind of one of the big ones. But he was...
It was on Syfy, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But he was saying he was pitching it, and you know, they were saying, well, like, does this really have legs? Where are you going to get all the stories from? And he's like, it's in the title! There's 4,400!
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And 10 years later, Under the Dome is on for multiple seasons. Dome! We're under it! Huh?
I know and love Billy Campbell originally from Once and Again, which was a really sappy but good series.
So there you go.
Sometimes I really feel like the token girl on this podcast.
Oh, no. My silence meant that I agreed with you.
Okay.
My silence meant that I didn't know what you were talking about.
Did you think he was dreamy on Once and Again?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Was he Mick Dreamy or Mick Steamy?
Oh, he was even before those two. Those two schlubs.
Yeah, exactly. He predated them.
Remember back how many years ago was it, Diane, that you used to get excited about Glee?
Oh, man. That lasted for a season, though. I did used to get so excited about it, though. I used to like drive you nuts by saying Glee.
I know, and
and then season two, I was like, oh man,
it fell right off the table.
Yes,
that first
it did.
Season was fantastic. Oh well,
where did that come from, Anthony?
I don't know. It was just kind of because you were kind of recalling like older shows, and I thought,
yeah,
oh, there's a show she used to like. So Schitt's Creek. Apparently, it's not enough that we're going to have the short season two. It's expanding in season two.
Oh, yeah. Did I tell you my strength is not headline writing?
It's expanding.
It's expanding.
It's like the all-new expanding Schitt's Creek.
You
know what would have been better? Schitt's Creek expands. Schitt's Creek season two, more shit. See,
if only I had known this, I could have pitched this to Dan Levy when I was talking to him last week.
Yeah.
As CBC had a junket last week for the upcoming season of Schitt's Creek. So I got a chance to talk to Dan Levy and Eugene and Annie Murphy and Catherine O'Hara was there. And yeah, it was great. So we talked about, and the reason that I have expanding in the headline is the fact that now that they've got these characters kind of all figured out, they're going to do more with them in season two, which of course is what you usually do.
For sure.
You don't usually back off on the characters in the second season. some of the characters are going to be switched up in different pairings in different scenes, in different episodes. And one of the interesting little tidbits that I got was that Robin Duke is going to star in a handful of episodes. And of course, she was on SCTV with Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy. And she was also on Saturday Night Live, and she's going to play a clothing store manager that hires on Dan's character, David. And David is a fashion forward thinker. And so he's going to cause a lot of problems for Wendy in the clothing store. So I'm looking forward to it.
I love the fact they're bringing Robin Duke on the
show.
Because I used to really enjoy her on SCTV and on Saturday Night Live. So it's great to see that she's... she's being brought back again, so that's really cool.
Yeah, so the CBC is going to air the first two episodes back-to-back, which I believe they did that with the first season as well.
Yeah.
So that's coming back on Tuesday, January the 12th at 9 and 9:30 on CBC. And also, it hasn't been officially announced or anything like that, but they're currently working on season three, which is what you usually do. You work on the next season until they tell you to stop working on that season and then you've been canceled.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you could obviously take that with a grain of salt, but the fact that they're already working on the stories for season three is a cause to get a little bit excited as well.
All I'm thinking of is kind of in the tradition of a lot of like the Waiting for Guffman movies and stuff like that. Mm. When Schitt's Creek ends, they just need to take this entire cast and just put them in a new show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that.
I mean, I think you've got enough talent that you've built up at this point that you just say, all right, we were here, now we're here.
Yeah, and hey, why not? You could even make a couple of movies for Netflix.
There you go. You could call it Schitt's Creek, The Shit Hits the Fan.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Actually,
wringing every single pun out of the title we can.
Yeah. Oh, that would be great if they ever had like, kind of like a fan gathering for Schitt's Creek. They should call it When the Shit Hits the Fan.
Well, they do call themselves shitheads. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm a fan of the show. I'm never going to call myself that.
people do that for me.
Yeah.
People call me that for me.
Yeah. To be fair, you let other people play.
I don't think there's an S on the end of it when they say.
So very, very cool. And the kind of last piece that we have to talk about, because we thought, like, back when we were planning the episode that we wouldn't have enough to talk about, and we're already coming up on like 40 minutes or something like that. So it never seems like
does this shock anybody?
Nah, no, not really.
We've had digressions on top of our digressions. So
so let me get this straight. Global's doing a scripted show in Toronto?
Yes, they are.
Wow.
They might even air it sometime.
Well, they're going to air this one for sure.
So it's a co-pro with Canada and the UK, it looks like, from the folks at Shaftesbury.
Yes, we do a little show called Murdoch Mysteries, another time period series.
Who
yes.
could perhaps get out and vote on that poll question?
Yes.
Slackers.
So Houdini and Doyle. Really? Doyle?
Well, but it's not, yeah. There's a lot of Doyles in Canadian TV, isn't there?
Apparently.
There are. Alan Doyle.
And that's all we got.
Peter
Jake Doyle.
Peter Doyle.
John Doyle.
John Doyle, that's right, yeah.
Whoever, Jake Doyle, Alan Hocko's clan.
So what's the premise of this show, as if I couldn't guess, as the graphic for the show seems to show a Sherlock Holmesy Arthur Conan Doyle character and Harry Houdini.
Exactly. Good one. Wow. Very good.
In their spare time solve mysteries?
Yeah. Well, this is kind of based on the real life friendship that Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and Harry Houdini shared. And it was...
Are you taking out your crib notes there?
No, I'm trying to describe it without. I mean, I was told I sat down with David Hoselton and who is the co-creator. There are actually three Davids along with this: David Shore, of course, from House, and David Hoselton, who worked on House with David Shore, and then David Titcher. They all kind of worked on this project together, and it's based, like I said, on Houdini and Doyle's actual friendship. But where the twist is that they're going to solve crimes, and in the early 20th century, and they're supernatural in scope and in nature. And what Hoselton told me, he described it as the X-Files back in the early 20th century, because these two are solving crimes. Houdini is a skeptic, and Doyle is the one that tends to be a believer. And then the third person in that mix is Constable Adelaide Stratton, played by Rebecca Lydiard, who is originally from London, Ontario. So 10 episodes, 1 hour. They've filmed the first 8 episodes in and around Manchester and Liverpool, and they are currently filming the last 2 episodes in and around Southern Ontario at different locations. Pretty much the Murdoch Mysteries locations that they use when they're filming, they're going to use the same ones here. So
they were shooting something out downtown Hamilton today, because I couldn't turn down a street I needed to, and I looked down and there was a big setup in front of the old Scottish Rite Mason Hall.
Oh, that could have been them.
Yeah, it could have been.
Although Hamilton's a hotbed for a whole bunch of stuff right now.
It is, yeah.
Hamilton is a hotbed.
Oh, for filming? It's insane. Like, the Hamilton Spectator every week now posts, like, usually 5 or 6 things that are going to be shooting in the next 7 to 10 days.
I mean, it's no Sudbury, but...
It's no Sudbury, but here's the thing. We've got North End streets that still look like they did in the 1950s.
Well, and David Shore grew up in London, Ontario, and David Hoselton, I'm not sure where he's from, but he's Canadian as well. Right. This is one of those shows that, because it's a co-production and a lot of it is going to look English. I mean, Stephen Mangan is one of the co-leads. I love him because I love episodes. Right. Michael Weston is American and he's the other co-lead. And it's going to look like one of those shows that people will whine isn't Canadian enough. But to me, that's Canadian enough.
I mean,
the writers are Canadian.
Like, I mean, I like the premise of this. Like, right off the bat, I like the premise. But it's going to be one of those things, like a lot of the, what's called them, sci-fi, fantasy, supernatural things like this, where it's going to walk a line as to whether it is gritty or a little bit too gritty or a little bit too cheesy.
I can't imagine it being too gritty.
And that's the problem. That's the problem.
You go on about I don't go on sounded negative. You talk about tone a lot in your TABC's podcast, and I enjoy that because I think that's what a lot of my enjoyment of a show boils down to. Because if you say Murdoch Mysteries meets the X-Files, I'm going to roll my eyes at you. Even talking about Houdini and Doyle solving crimes together with supernatural elements, I'm like, I have some faith in this because I enjoyed the tone of House so much. Mm. I like the leads, you know, so I'm giving it a bit of a, I'm more excited about this than maybe I should be. And some of that is just resting on having faith in the tone that they will come up with, which could be misplaced faith, but you know,
I get the feeling that this isn't going to be, it's not going to be serious enough or dark enough for me.
I would hesitate to even think it's going to be slightly serious or dark.
Yeah. And that's fine, but it's really hard to pull off a supernatural adventure thriller that's trying to be too funny.
Yeah. Right.
And I could be totally out to lunch on that. It's just that both Michael Weston and Stephen Mangan have a comedic background as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, House had its, you know, sarcastic humor side, but it was, to me, House was almost as much a comedy as it was a drama in a, you know, not in a slapsticky way, but...
Now, that being said...
Yeah,
I sorry to interrupt, but the recent incarnations of the Sherlock Holmes films, they do it well.
Yes.
Like, I've enjoyed those films. I mean, there's humor, but it's also rollicking. It's an adventure. You can't keep up that kind of adventuresome pace that they do in those films with the budget they have in a series that's going to go, you know, 10 episodes, you know, for 42 minutes or whatever it is. It's going to be tough to kind of live up to that. But that is a tone where if they can capture that, that would be kind of cool. So,
And see, I mean, I guess it depends what you mean when you say dark and serious, because I don't think those movies are dark and serious at all. Either.
No, they're not. But I'm saying if they went not dark and serious, that's the fine line they might have to walk.
Yeah. And they are calling it mystery adventure drama series. So, I mean, they're not playing up any kind of campiness or that kind of thing. So who knows? It will be interesting to see anyway.
It will be. I'll give it a shot. It's one of those things where it kind of falls into my wheelhouse. And so I'm hoping. Go ahead, Greg.
No, the only thing I was going to say is that that's going to be airing on Global here in Canada, Fox in the US, and ITV in the UK. You know, again, 10 episodes, I think it would have to do pretty badly for it not to get renewed for a second season. So, but I think that we'll probably be seeing more adventures, not just one season out of these two guys. So I'm excited about it.
Do we have a general idea of the premiere date?
No, nothing yet. All they're saying at this point was 2016. That's all we know.
So it's licensed in the U.S. on Fox.
Yes.
So 10 episodes, I mean, unless it's a summer replacement series on Fox.
Yeah, that was actually when I said I wasn't sure, I kind of thought in the back of my mind that it would probably make sense as a summer show rather than waiting until fall. Yeah.
Global tends to do summer series for the Canadian series as well.
Yeah.
Like they're the ones who don't put anything on at any other time. So
right.
That does kind of make sense.
Actually, I could see Global, depending on when Fox decides to show it, I could see Global doing a simulcast with it.
Oh,
it'll be it could be in Rookie Blue's old spot.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean, Rookie Blue's canceled?
Oh, sorry, man.
Rick!
Oh, sorry guys.
You just ruined my whole year.
Your whole year.
Wow. I'm depressed now.
What was that?
I was gonna say I just started pouring more tea. I'm so depressed.
Yeah, it's tea. Let's call it tea.
I just realized you can hear that.
Greg, where can people find you when you're not here talking about the tea being dropped?
Well,
not dropped, jeez.
You can find me heading up the co-creating TVA website.
That went smoothly, didn't it?
Shit expands, brother.
it's because he hit me up first. I'm so used to you being thrown to first, Diane. He totally threw me off. So co-creating fresh content at tv-eh.com. I'm also manning the Twitter account, co-manning the Twitter account, which is what is it, Diane? Is it at TV underscore EH?
Yes. Wow.
And then when I'm not doing that and I'm not drinking aspartame laced drinks, I'm also doing my own Twitter account, which is at Greg _ David. Diane, where can we find you?
Oh no. I do most of those things, but not the Greg David one. And I'm on Twitter at DEEKAYW as well. And where can we find you, Anthony?
I blame the cranberry lobby for Greg's problems tonight.
It's the aspartame.
Yeah, I think that's right. What it is. Find all the other podcasts that I do at anthonymarco.com. Find me on Twitter at Anthony Marco. And for those people who don't know, December 1st is the Canadian National Day of Podcasting.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yes, it's kind of this.
That's when this will be posted.
This unofficial day that we have. So it's December 1st, and we happen to be posting on that day. So for those of you who are podcasters, good on you. For those of you who aren't podcasters, what are you waiting for? And for those of you who just enjoy this podcast, maybe you can go over to our Patreon page at patreon.com. That's what we call smooth right there, folks.
That's
nice.
Awesome.
Segue.
Smooth as bourbon.
Patreon.com, patreon.com/TV_EH. And with the winter coming, we get very cold, and the servers, there's a chance they might freeze with icicles on them. So, you know, if you can spare, you know, $1 an episode or maybe a little bit more, subscribe there as our Patreon and kick us a couple of bucks because you enjoy us talking about Canadian television every week. We would certainly appreciate it if you did that. And, you know, sometimes it gets cold in the middle of winter and, you know, you only have a can of sardines and a crust of bread.
I'm
please,
fighting.
Sir.
I'm fighting my cats for the friskies.
Wow. Wow.
Times are tough in Vancouver. Yeah.
I think at the very end of the episode, we just got the title, Fighting My Cats for the Friskies.
Great.
And that wraps up another episode for this week. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Just have cats on the brain because my cat was peeking to leave the things off.